the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 69 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, and welcome back. This is Ed, and on this week's show, we're going to do a couple things. We're going to start out with a little bit of news, then we're going to move on to some listener question letters. And then after that, we're going to spend a little time talking about some of the Magic Kingdom's interactive queue experiences. There's been a lot of them installed recently, and I think it's about time we can kind of talk about that. So before we start, let me introduce who's with me tonight. Jimmy, how's it going?
Fantastic. Very happy to be here.
Awesome. Awesome. We also have Sam with us tonight. Sam, how's it going?
Great, Ed. Jimmy, I'm in an interactive mood.
Awesome. Okay, well, what we're going to do is let's start off with a little news. So Sam's been doing a little digging, and there's definitely been a lot of stuff going on down at the parks.
Yeah, a lot of interesting things, and I love to get on top of some timely things, especially when you look at some of the shows that we did recently. So last week, we talked about transportation at Walt Disney World, and there's some minor changes happening on the monorail loops over at the Magic Kingdom here. Now, Disney's saying that it's temporary, but we'll wait and see. But some interesting things happening specifically when it comes to what was the Express monorail versus the Resort monorail. So if you look at what's happening, the Express monorail, where you used to board at the Transportation and Ticket Center, and it would take you to Magic Kingdom and then circle back around, for select days here in the next few months, that monorail loop is going to go from the Transportation and Ticket Center to the Contemporary Resort to the Magic Kingdom, and then continue that loop or potentially come backwards. We're not exactly sure how that will continue the journey. And meanwhile, the Resort monorail will be Magic Kingdom to Grand Floridian to Polynesian, and it won't stop at the Transportation and Ticket Center. So a little different. So if you're staying at one of those resorts here in February and March of 2015, you may get some communication when you check in that to get to Epcot, there'll be a bus. Now, we thought about this a little bit. I'm not sure if this is permanent, if this is trying to get more people onto the boats, or if they're just fixing the monorail or doing some things to some of the beams. But anyway, you look at it, it's pretty interesting, don't you think, guys?
It sounds like they must be working on a piece of the track between the Grand Floridian and, I'm sorry, the Polynesian and the Ticket and Transportation Center. Because it seems like that monorail is going to go from Magic Kingdom to Grand Floridian to the Polynesian and then come back to the Magic Kingdom. And it's just going to work that track back and forth. And then the other, the Express, is going to do what it normally does, which is go from Magic Kingdom to the TTC, but it's going to stop at the Contemporary on its way. Now, is it going to stop both ways? I don't know.
It's interesting in just hearing you say that, Jimmy, and I'm sorry, Ed, because there is some construction happening right there at the Polynesian, isn't there?
Yep. The bungalows. So maybe that's what they're doing. Maybe they're tying in that piece of track there right past the Polynesian to the new bungalows.
Yeah, that does kind of fit to the last time they did some construction on the track. What was that, last year, where they had some weird type of closings during the day?
Yep. So I do find it a little odd that they do it right in the middle of the day. I mean, they've got it down. They don't do it here in New Orleans, but if you've noticed driving through Florida, they usually do their road construction at night in Florida. So I'm surprised they're not doing that at night when the parks are closed.
Sure, we could speculate on a lot of different reasons, but we'll see.
Yeah, so bottom line, we talked about transportation in last week's show. Check when you get there. Obviously, if you're checking into one of those resorts, they're going to let you know what's happening.
Absolutely.
A another piece of news we have. It's a new year, 2015, and a new year, as always, means, well, ticket prices may be going up, and we're hearing a bit about that. Not that we didn't expect it, right?
Sure.
No, I mean, at this point, the expectations almost that they're going to increase prices twice a year.
Like they did in 2014. Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. So you never know. I think the big rumor and rumbling that we're seeing on the Facebook group are the potential of them eliminating the no expiration ticket.
Which is so cost prohibitive anyway. To add that option was so expensive.
Well, adding the option, you were hedging your bet that ticket prices would go up and you just purchased a ticket that would you would cash in when the value was worth. Yeah. It's playing a stock market almost at that point.
Yeah, really.
Sure. Now, I got to imagine they're going to allow any no expiration tickets previously sold to be honored, of course.
Oh, absolutely.
I would expect, they're just not going to sell the option. I'm sure there'll be some official communication.
Right. Okay, cool. So what else is going on?
Then the last thing, you know, we did two shows last year towards the end. One was predictions for 2015, and one was what would you add to World Showcase if you could add a country, which were two pretty popular shows. And if you haven't listened to those, I suggest you go back in the website and find those because they are somewhat interesting. And we learned here early in 2015 via some public filings that Disney had to publish that there's an expansion coming to Epcot's World Showcase. And a little different than any of us may have predicted. It's not a new country. It's an expansion of an existing country that we know is undergoing some refurbishments, and that's an expansion to the Norway Pavilion.
Sam.
Yes.
Let it go.
So here's the... very good.
Ouch.
Nicely
Ouch.
Done. So in this entire thing, which I explained to my wife, she stopped me and said, wait a minute, they're expanding the women's restrooms? Which is part of this. And in fact, it's why they had to file the paperwork with the water utility in Florida. If you guys are familiar with the restroom location right next to Norway, sort of on the Mexico side, I know that I have spent a lot of time waiting for my wife and my daughter to return from those restrooms. So she was just happy that the expansion was a women's restroom and not additional restrooms.
Well,
so I guess that's good.
If you know, I understand she's happy, but you're probably even happier, right? Because we end up waiting for them.
Well, that's what I mean. It's good for
right.
everybody, so I have no problem with that. So it's a restroom, but that restroom is going to be attached to a building that is a meet-and-greet location.
Let it go.
Here's what I think I'm okay with. When you look at it, it's going to be located sort of behind where the margarita stand is as you're walking around World Showcase. You pass Mexico and come up on Norway. There's a margarita stand. It'll be behind there. Whether you'll be able to see it or not, I'm not sure. It is a large building. And room to do a lot of things and hide a pretty big queue for Anna and Elsa and Olaf or whatever they decide to put in there, right?
Well, right. So I'm all for as many people eaters as they can put in there. I don't care to see Anna and Elsa, and if they put something like that that's going to have a 3-hour wait and it's going to suck up a lot of people, that makes the line shorter on the next thing, I'm all for it.
On the new Maelstrom, whatever it might be. Who knows, right?
Absolutely. Yep.
We speculated in our look at what's coming to World Showcase that they may be adding a meet and greet directly into that the spot at the end of the old Maelstrom ride. But now it seems like that won't be the case. So there's lots of things they could do back in there.
Yep, absolutely. I agree.
Which is cool. One other little piece of news that I noticed. The previous meet and greet location for Anna and Elsa, which was in the front of Norway, that shop appears to have reopened down there. So
what
that
was in
space
that
is back. It was the perfume in the very front there. If you sort of remember that. They sort of moved it back and rethemed that into the Anna Elsa meet and greet, which was supposed to be this little temporary thing that
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
So that's the newest news from, or interesting news, or should we say that's the latest information that we're seeing people talk about in the Facebook group. So head over to Disney Nerds Facebook group and participate in that conversation. There's some great stuff going on over there.
Come join us. It's Disney Nerds in all caps. It's a closed group with about 12,000 members.
Oh yeah, we throw a lot of good information around there, and there's a lot of people adding to it. So
great,
really good place to look.
Yep, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
There's some hat that's like half built that I keep seeing pictures of. Have you guys noticed that?
It's not down yet.
It's not. We'll talk about it later, but.
Let me just add one quick piece to that real quick. And I was rather indifferent on the Sorcerer hat in Hollywood Studios. It didn't move me one way or the other. But I have to say they made it a little, watching it be slowly torn apart has made it a little sad even for me.
I agree with that.
It's kind of sad to watch it go piece by piece every day.
Well, I wish I could see it come apart piece by piece every day. I'm just seeing pictures that other people are taking. But
right.
When I get there, it'll be gone. That's for sure.
Me too, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Which cool I'm looking pictures. Forward to that. Now, I was going to say, I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to getting a PhotoPass picture, a Memory Maker picture in Hollywood Studios now because I don't have one. I've seen it without the hat, but I don't have like a nice PhotoPass picture with the Chinese theater behind us. So I'm looking forward to that.
Hey, did you guys notice on the Walt Disney World maps that they have? So not the individual park maps, but the map that is for four parks, one world, or something like that is the title. And they have an icon for each of the locations. Did you guys see some pictures of this recently?
No, but I would imagine there's a water tower on it.
No, it's Tower of Terror.
Oh, really?
Yes, which I expected to see an Earful Tower, and I didn't. It was indeed the Tower of Terror as nice. The symbol.
You know, I keep coming back to the whole point. They would have to move that Earful Tower if they really wanted it to be a good icon because you don't really see it that often in the park unless you're back on the backlot tour.
I was about to say, which doesn't exist anymore. So
right. Right. However, the Tower of Terror...
Now you get thrown out for doing a backlot tour.
Yeah, seriously. but the Tower of Terror, you do see that from outside the park and from almost everywhere,
yeah.
From even from other parks.
Yes.
Can't we see the Tower of Terror from Everest, I think, when we're looking in the right direction?
Yes, definitely can.
So, you know, that kind of makes a little sense.
I agree.
And it's going to definitely stay, as opposed to the Chinese theater, who knows if that'll stay or not.
Right.
Somebody does, and they're not telling us.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Sam. Awesome, awesome news coming out of the parks. What we're going to do now is we're going to answer a couple listener questions that we received through our email. And if you do want to send us an email, it's thedisneynerds@yahoo.com. And you can just send us an email, ask a question. And we want to hear a little bit more than just the question. I mean, if you do email us, tell us all about yourself. What made you a Disney nerd? Where you're from? Things like that. We always love reading these things. The first one is from Lauren. And Lauren says, "Hello, my name is Lauren, and I'm a big Disney nerd. What do you think the best restaurant is to eat at for priority seating for the Candlelight Processional? We've been disappointed twice, and Epcot is our favorite. This is a very special event for us. Thank you in advance, Lauren and family." Well, thanks for the email, Lauren. And that is a really good question. Now, before we started the show, I did take a look, and then I had also asked Jimmy to look this up. And we were kind of surprised at how many restaurants are actually available for this.
So available for, this is for 2014, obviously, because it hasn't been announced for 2015. But for the 2014 Candlelight Processional package pricing, which adult prices start at $35 for lunch and $50 for dinner, is Beer Garden, Chefs de France, Coral Reef, Garden Grill, La Hacienda, Nine Dragons Restaurant, Restaurant Marrakesh, The Rose and Crown, St. Angel Inn, Teppan Edo, Tokyo Dining, Tutto Italia, and Via Napoli.
Okay, so that was a great list, but I did notice one was missing. Did you say Le Cellier?
I did not say Le Cellier, and it's not on the list.
Wow.
How about that?
For 2014, nice.
Okay. So before we even start to even name a restaurant that we might think would be better, the thing is, restaurants down in Epcot, down in Walt Disney World, could be the greatest restaurant. You can eat there many times, and perhaps you'll go there one time, and it might not be that good. So we can offer up our suggestions when we've had some really good experiences, but we can't always guarantee that it'll be the same for you. We can always hope, though.
So I think, you know, I think one of the main things is look at the menus before you go down and look and see what's going to give you the best bang for your buck. On a previous show, we had Rick Killingsworth on from Disney Dining, and his site will list all the menus and the prices for these restaurants. I would tell you something like Nine Dragons is not very expensive to eat, right, Sam?
I would agree with that. I go to Nine Dragons frequently because my kids like it, but it's definitely not one of the most expensive. No.
Especially when you compare it to something like Tudo Italia or
Chefs de France.
Chefs de France, or even Coral Reef is relatively expensive. Yeah.
Right. So I totally agree with that. You're going to have to be comfortable with what kind of food they're serving. So definitely check the menus. All Ears Net or a couple of the other sites have awesome menus.
Jimmy, does it say anything about it being a fixed menu for the package? Because typically that candlelight processional package is a fixed price, and you're getting an appetizer, a main course, and a dessert. Is it limited, or is it the full menu?
From what I'm reading, it just says each meal includes one appetizer, one entree, one non-alcoholic beverage, and one dessert, or one full buffet where applicable.
So in Germany, you get the buffet. Mm-hmm.
And it is 2 table service credits on the plus dining or deluxe dining, 1 table service credit on the platinum, premium or platinum dining.
And remember why you're doing this. You're doing this to get that priority seat at the Candlelight Processional. That's why it's a little more expensive.
Yeah, so my main thing is that if you're going to pay to get that preferred seating, then use that to get the best bang for your buck on the food as well.
Sure, that makes total sense. And again, the taste depends on you, what you're going to like to eat. I think as far as, unfortunately, you had 2 bad times, I think it's unfortunately bad luck. I think no matter where you'd pick, you'd have a chance to do better this time, Lauren.
I really enjoy it. If I was going to pick one, it'd be tough to just pick one. But if I was going to pick 2, for
nice
me,
sound
it would
like
be,
me, man. Come on.
It'd be, for me personally, it'd be between Coral Reef or St. Angel Inn. And St. Angel Inn's not necessarily expensive, but we've had good food there every time we've eaten there. Another one is Teppanito. It's hibachi. I mean, I think it'd be pretty tough to mess that up.
Yeah, I think my family would be Teppanito or Tudo Italia. One of those 2 where we would be.
I would say Coral Reef. Teppanito would be cool. I've never eaten there. And it's kind of close to where you're going. So it makes sense if you're eating near where the show is, near the time.
Yep. For sure.
Okay, awesome. We had one other letter for this week, and it comes from Lisa from Massachusetts. Hi, my name is Lisa. I'm from Massachusetts. My nerddom started when I was 8 during my first trip to Disney, but really developed in my early 20s. Now I go once a year, at least 3 times this past calendar year. Lucky girl. I'm really excited that we're going to be down in February for the monorail crawl, which will be a great way to celebrate running my first 5K. Oh, awesome.
Nice.
That's awesome.
Excellent. My fiance and I just went down for a few days in early December, which prompts my question. When is your favorite time to go to the world? I really love the magic of Christmas, but it's very busy, and there is something more magical about having space around you when you move. What makes me a nerd are that the same qualities that make you and the other followers love, knowledge, passion, and mild to major obsessions with all things Disney. From going as often as possible to having each room in your house containing a piece of Disney decor to planning to retire, live, and work down there.
That's fantastic.
Yep. Yeah. The marketing campaign is brilliant. We all have a Disney side. That is a fact. But only true Disney nerds show their Disney sides everywhere they go. Lisa. Great email, Lisa.
That was a fantastic email.
And you did nail it. That's what a nerd's all about. Disney nerd for sure.
Yep.
Now, as far as the time of year to go, I agree with you. Christmas is a magical time, but I really prefer the times when there is nobody there. And Christmas time isn't one of those times, unfortunately. Even that magic...
When is the time?
So...
There is none anymore.
I agree. Well, I don't know. I don't know if that's necessarily true. I don't think there is a time you can go when there's strictly... when there's no one. But I think there are times you can go that... I mean, when... I think that week... I think the end of September, beginning of October, when we did our last meet, is a very good time to go.
I would almost say all of September, just because as soon as school starts and you get those Eastern and Northern schools in there at the end of August, I think you've got a solid 4 or 5 weeks going right there.
Everything past Labor Day. Mm-hmm. Once you get past Labor Day weekend, I think it really slows down. I like February. We're going in February. We're going in 3 weeks. I think that's usually a pretty good time to go, although I would typically stay away from President's Week, especially this year because it falls with Mardi Gras, so that'll be a little bit busier because they're together. If you like the Christmas decorations, I would tell you to go probably 2 weeks before Thanksgiving, or probably 2 weeks after Thanksgiving for that matter.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. There's always that a week past Thanksgiving, you have like a week, 2 weeks, pretty much window there where everybody's kind of recovering from Thanksgiving and getting ready for Christmas. So you can kind of squeeze in there too. Most spring is tough because we have a large spring break area or large spring break window. So you can go literally from March through the end of April, beginning of May almost sometimes. We have a lot of people down there.
Absolutely.
One way of looking at it is the crowd level, which you were talking about, and I'm with you, Ed. I think it's less busy. I don't know that there's ever any more a good time to go.
Right.
It's just less busy than the crowded season. I like the fall decorations. My favorite time to be there is to experience the transition from Halloween into Christmas. That's what I've come to like great time to be there, but at the same time, springtime, you can't beat the Flower and Garden Festival. There's so many great times to be at Disney World. We've said before on the show, understand that if you're going for the holidays or going for Christmas, it's absolutely beautiful, but it's a completely different park. Everything's different, and we did some episodes about the holidays at Disney World in the past. I'll refer you to those.
Definitely. So that's the answer for that one, Lisa. Thank you again for sending your email, and thank you also, Lauren. Awesome jobs, guys. We actually have one more email we want to talk about tonight, and it's a really quick question, so we figure we have time to cover this one too. It's from one of our friends over on Facebook, Sophie. She's been with our Facebook group since the beginning, and she wrote us, "When is the next meetup for the Disney Nerds podcast?" Jimmy, why don't you take that one?
I think it's fantastic that you asked, Sophie. The last meetup we had in October was such a blast. It was so fun to get down there and meet up with some of our listeners and friends on the Facebook page. And then, so this time, our next meet will be on, and actually Lisa had mentioned in her email, we're doing a monorail crawl on February 22nd. We are going to start at Narcoossee's and the Grand Floridian at 8 o'clock. We'll probably, me and Sam and Jen will probably get there probably about 7:30 or so. And the goal is to hit each monorail resort and each bar and have a drink and just talk amongst Disney nerds. And we're going to try to be at the Polynesian for 9 o'clock wishes viewing from Tambu Lounge. There is a event on the Disney Nerds podcast Facebook page that you can go look at the details and click whether or not you plan on attending. I did put in there, even though it's going to be alcohol involved, we're a bunch of Disney nerds, so we want to make sure that everybody understands that it is kid-friendly. There will be areas around there for the kids, for people with families to hang out and sit around. And so don't feel like I got my 10-year-old with me, I can't go. Both of my kids will be there, so... please come join us.
Okay, well, what we're going to talk about now is something that's been happening at the Magic Kingdom and actually all of Walt Disney World for probably about 10-15 years. They've been working on these mini projects that basically improve an attraction without really doing a lot of construction. What we're talking about is the interactive cues that they're adding to the parks. Now, I think Soarin' might have been the first one they tried this with way back when, where they had those wave boards on the standby line that you could kind of wave along with your friends there and make things move and such. Well, since then, they've come a long way. Just recently, the Peter Pan attraction opened up with their new interactive attractions on the line, and they're all really super cool. I think they finally hit the zenith of all these interactives.
I don't know. We might be on the verge of some even bigger things if you take what they've done and integrate the My Magic experience in Magic.
I was about to say, yeah, is it going to even get...
The whole thing could get better.
Yeah.
So here's what I think when I think interactive queue. To me, an interactive queue is something that will distract you away from the fact that you're waiting in line, right? That's really what it's all about. It's about taking the guest experience and allowing them to be distracted so that they're not worried about taking the next turn or whatever it is. So I will go all the way back a dozen years ago, almost 15 years ago, to the original Dumbos in their original location right behind Cinderella's castle. And there were, in this queue, if you guys remember, because I had little kids at the time walking through the queue, in the corners were these clowns where they were a square and you'd spin the bottom of them and line up the different clown head with the costume with the feet. And to me, that was the first time I had to say to my children, come on, the line's moving, let's go. And that was like the first interactive queue, and it was so simple. But if you think about it, those switchbacks were the worst. And it distracted them temporarily. And I think that was one of the first interactive cues. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I believe so. I don't necessarily personally remember that. But, I think that definitely qualifies as an interactive cue.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Now, when we were talking about this topic, we came up with three different divisions of what we consider interactive cue entertainment. The first one is what Sam's talking about, the hands-on type of games, things that will keep people occupied and make them think a little bit. The second type, the large animatronics, thinking maybe Mr. Potato Head, Buzz Lightyear. The third type is the general type of interactive quality that Disney's famous for. Basically, the entire full story that's laid out as you're getting on the attraction's line, getting up to the attraction. Basically, starting to immerse you. Perfect example, Pirates. Walking into the fort, walking through those different corridors, getting closer and closer to where you start your trip. It's just incredible how immersive it does get.
Talking about that, you know, I think sometimes in some of the queues they're done so well that I almost, when the line's moving, I almost miss the fact that I can't play with them a little more.
Well, sure. I mentioned Soarin' before. I've only been on the standby line once where we've had a chance to actually play with those activities, and it was a couple years ago. I can barely remember it. Most of the time, we're kind of breezing by Fast Pass, or if the line's so short, we're just breezing past those things. Kind of the same in Space Mountain. Our last trip, I stopped.
That's the one I was thinking of.
I stopped to play with Space Mountains the other time. Well, anyway, we're getting ahead of ourselves. So basically, the Magic Kingdom over the last 10, 15 years has been doing a lot of these projects, with Peter Pan being the last of them. And it also seems like anything new that's opening up, that's definitely part of the planning. Talking about the Little Mermaid Under the Sea attraction and the Seven Dwarfs train. They have some incredible, incredible interactive stuff on their lines. And Jimmy's right. You almost want to just stay there and play with it. It is that cool.
Yeah.
Although, you know, somebody back at Disney's Bean Counter table had to ask the question one time, what are we going to do to make somebody who just spent how much money to think about waiting in line for an hour not being a bad thing? And they came up with this idea. Let's liven up the queues. I can't wait to see Peter Pan. Looking forward to that. One of the ones
that's
I thought...
That's the best one. The best one to me is the one that I haven't experienced yet. So I can't wait to see Peter Pan.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Right, absolutely.
And Jimmy was saying before the show, he's kind of putting in an embargo. He's not going to watch the videos they have out there. He's going to wait till he gets down there in February.
I'm too close, I feel like, now. Yeah. As much as I want to go watch a YouTube video on it and just see it, but I feel like it's going to be so much better if I just wait until I'm there.
Right. Well, plug your ears right now because I want to talk about it real quick. From what we saw in the video, the Peter Pan interactive stuff looks pretty cool, and it seems to be broken down into three different sections. There's the first section where you're walking through, and you can see your shadow, what looks like on the wall, but you can also see a lot of other things flying as shadows on the wall around you, and it's interactive, where you can actually push things around with your hand, or appear to be. That looked pretty intense. The second part of that was, it looks like you walk into the children's bedroom, and you'll see Tinkerbell flying around up until the point where she flies down to her drawer, where she was hidden, I guess, with the shadow. And so I'm imagining she flies around a little bit more than that. And in the last room, it looked like it was more of an audio-type reaction-type room. People were clapping their hands, and they were covered with light lit-up pixie dust. And it looked pretty cool in there, too. The kids are definitely going to love that one.
Yeah, that sounds fun.
Very excited.
So we're going to go through some of the ones in the Magic Kingdom and kind of talk about what they've done. Big Thunder was one they did last year, which was a pretty nice one.
One of the most recent ones.
And it's a nice one in that they dressed up the line a little bit, in that we have the money safe, we have the explosives up there, and they also added some things that made it a little interactive with the whole with the mountain itself.
I think, will we all agree that before this, that was the worst queue in the Magic Kingdom?
Oh, I don't know. I think Peter Pan was the worst.
All right, so the two that we've talked about they've so gotta be far close, were the worst.
No.
Yes,
I will agree that it's one of the worst. Yeah, yeah.
Peter
Pan may be the worst.
Classic switchbacks, nothing to see, nothing to do. Absolutely
no air conditioning.
Horrible. Right, they were bad.
They were outside, so it was miserable.
Yeah, they've addressed the two that were the worst. I love it.
Right. Right, and Big Thunder, the only thing that was exciting about that line was getting to the point where you pass the air conditioning line and you finally get back into it again.
right, absolutely.
So definitely it was worth the while. And what they did on Big Thunder I thought was pretty cool. It fit right into the attraction. They could maybe add something else to give it a little bit more, but I thought what they did was pretty cool.
They brought a story to it, right? They created a backstory. Now you're looking into the down into the mine shaft, and you see the miners down there and their canaries, and it's pretty neat what they've done. They've definitely distracted you for a while you're waiting in that standby line, which is probably something to point out. FastPass misses a lot of these interactive things, right?
Right. Definitely does.
Yes, it does. Yep.
Now, real quick before we leave Big Thunder, just had a question for you. If Big Thunder was an abandoned mine, and now we're going through the attractions queue and seeing all these things that seem like it's an active mine, how does that treat the story?
Are you going through time in the queue?
I don't know.
Sure.
Never thought
why
about
not?
That.
Come on, it's Disney.
Are you seeing what once was?
Well, and if this was a Universal ride, I wouldn't ask a question like that. The only reason I would ask it at a Disney park is because they are such sticklers on story. That you would have to imagine it would have to make sense. And Jimmy's answer was perfect for that. Is it a timeline? Is it going through when the mine was active to the point where we get on the train and it's not an active mine anymore? I don't know. That's a good thought. I can live with that.
So, Rich, before you go through one at a time, Jimmy, what is your favorite interactive queue over at Magic Kingdom? Or maybe I should ask Ed that first. He wrote the blog.
Yeah,
he brought the topic
up. What's yours?
What's
favorite?
Your favorite?
Well, without seeing Peter Pan, I got to say I really like the Little Mermaid Under the Sea line. I thought those crabs, the crab game was incredible. I still think it's incredible. I think it's a really amazing amount of interactivity in that it's very seamless and it seems to work very well. Also, the whole point of adding a hidden Mickey that appears once a year.
Yeah.
On that,
yeah, that's
it's just
cool.
A little bit of a bonus. Plus, the place looks incredible. You definitely are walking down underwater eventually, or walking into a really cool-looking area. I got to tell you, I really like that, and I like the game at Space Mountain. It's a shame I never have time to play it, though.
I'm usually on the Fastpass side in Space Mountain.
Right, exactly.
If it was me, just me, and probably with my son, I would probably stand there and play it for a little while. But my wife would be like, what are you doing? Come on.
You know? You can play video games at home. Jimmy,
right.
Let's go.
I think my favorite's going to have to be Haunted Mansion.
And that's right. More recently. Yes, we haven't even mentioned
great.
That yet. Yes.
That's great.
That is a really good one.
The graveyard. And you know
love
that's
the lady with the poems.
Yeah.
that she reads, you know, the book writes on its, it just, the writing just appears and she looks for you to give her the next word.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
That's pretty awesome. That's pretty awesome.
You know, and those are some great examples, because Ed's example of The Little Mermaid and the newer attractions, new fantasy land, these things were purposely built into the attraction. I mean, the Dumbos with the playground, for crying out loud.
Right, right. Yep.
Right.
And, sure. And even the retrofitting the Haunted Mansion. But I look at that and think all the little bit of news that was sort of leaking out while they were building this outdoor cemetery and what are they doing here? And nobody really knew the true story, which we can see today, which is the Fastpass line goes straight past this outdoor mansion and this this outdoor interactive queue in the graveyard. And the standby line now goes through this interactive area to keep people a little bit occupied while the Fastpass people are skipping by them. That was the plan all along. We just didn't know it. We thought, oh, you got a choice. You can go through it or not. Well, no, you didn't have a choice. Fastpass goes to the right, and standby goes to the left, and you go through the graveyard. So, you know, a great example of them knowing where they were going but not telling us where they were going.
It's a complete diversion.
Now I got to wonder how Peter Pan's Fastpass goes.
Oh, I
bet.
Oh,
if you remember when we were down there, there was some construction, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the Fastpass didn't go through there. We waited in standby.
How much you want to bet the line enters from the other side for Fastpass? From the carousel side.
Yep, I believe you're right. I bet you're right.
Yeah, cool.
There you go.
Okay, Sam.
So let me throw mine out there. It's not mine necessarily, but the one that I enjoy watching the kids go through. And it's Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because they've done, if you have toddlers or youngsters, they have created an entire playground area inside of the queue for Winnie the Pooh so that the parents stand in line, sort of slowly making their way up behind each other, and the kids are running around in this playground area having a great time.
Yep.
I just Fantastic. Love the reaction on the kids, and they don't want to go in the Fastpass line here. My 7-year-old does not want the Fastpass line. He won't ride Winnie the Pooh unless he can play with the bumblebees and all the things in the standby queue. That's my favorite example.
I love those walls that you wipe the honey and let's get the pictures behind it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the whole thing is just, it distracts you completely and it allows you to play, and the kids are someplace else while it's going on, and they forget the fact for a minute that they have a 20-minute wait. 30-minute wait, whatever it might be. They're just looking to play. So I really like that.
You know, I just had a thought where the playground actually isn't a new idea, because I remember my kids playing on the playground by Splash Mountain. They actually have a playground that was under the railroad tracks.
It's still there.
Mm-hmm. So Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, I'm actually kind of surprised it didn't hit one of our favorites, and maybe that's because it's so new that we haven't had enough time to play in it. How cool are the barrels?
Absolutely.
Did you hear the whole secret behind the barrels?
Yeah, that if you get all of them spinning, Snow White appears.
Right. Okay, guys, just as an example, if you haven't been on the Seven Dwarves yet, when you're going around the standby line, there's a section you get to that's almost the inside of a cavern. And you come across a bunch of barrels, 7 to be exact, that are just basically sitting there.
Oh, there's 8 of them. Oh, yeah.
I think there's 7, yeah, one for each dwarf, and they're filled with all these jewels. And it's pretty awesome. And what you do is you spin the barrel. And it has a little bit of resistance, but you can eventually get it going so it's spinning. And as you do, if you look up in the ceiling, a little jumbled picture ends up solidifying into one of the dwarfs. So that was cool, and the first time we were on the attraction, we were playing around with this, and I was so bummed out to find out afterwards that if you get your family and some friends and other people in line to do this with you and get all 7 turning at the same time, well, Snow White appears in the middle of all of them. And
which I saw happen, and it's really cool.
That's awesome, it yeah. Is, and the barrels, cool. Each one of the barrels has a dwarf's name on it, and that's the dwarf that will appear on the ceiling. Mm-hmm. So it looks like when you turn it, it's got a bunch of jewels in it, and it looks like almost like a kaleidoscope on the ceiling. And if you get it moving fast enough, it'll open up, like Ed said, and come together to make a picture of that dwarf.
Right. And I tell you what, if you don't want to really break a sweat, before that, they had another cool attraction. It was like one of those water troughs that you have your, I guess, getting all the gold separated and things like that, and the jewels. Well, what's happening is all the different jewels are floating by you. And like one of those iPad games, you're pulling the jewel colors to the side that it's asking for. And trying to put that together. So that's a fun game.
That was a cool one.
And that was cool because it was on two, like the line rent on one side of it and they came back on the other side. So you kind of had two shots at that.
And there was one other thing, Ed, that had water. What was it?
Oh, the sound. You would have the water coming down when you put your hand into it. I can't remember if you broke the flow of the water or you started it, but it would also make a musical note.
When you stuck your hand in it, you'd hear the note and the water would stop.
Okay, yep.
So the water's constantly flowing and you put your hand in, it stops, so you don't get wet, but you try to get wet. Kind of thing.
Right.
Anyway, it's a great example of, obviously, when they're designing New Fantasyland, okay, we have to have an interactive queue in every one of these attractions. How are we going to do it? And as you mentioned, the Little Mermaid, all of them do, and they're great.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Even the Dumbos with the pager system, right? The first time they did that, you literally get a pager, go into the small indoor playground that's inside and air-conditioned in Florida, inside and air-conditioned, where parents can take a seat, the kids sort of run around, and when your pager goes off, you go and ride Dumbo.
Yeah, that is pretty nice.
Another one that I think we kind of forgot about, and maybe Ed's not done it, I don't know, is Storytime with Belle.
No, I haven't.
Yeah.
So Storytime with Belle, the queue isn't necessarily interactive, but there's a series of rooms that you go through, and each room is something different. It's a part of the story. Till you get to the final room, and then Belle comes in.
Yes, it's very immersive, let's put it that way.
So once you get into the first room, you're kind of involved in the story, and they're building it, and then you get to the second room, and they continue to build it, and then you go sit down, and you see Belle, and the Lumiere animatronic is probably one of the best audio animatronics I've ever seen.
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah.
Oh, I think, and I don't know her name, but the big Shifaru up in the second room.
Yeah, I'm going to have to check that out. It's tough hitting an attraction like that without kids.
I wouldn't recommend you go by yourself. Like, who's this creeper?
So this summer, hopefully, we'll get the kids down with me. Okay.
I'll loan you one of my kids.
Okay, cool. Now, like we were saying, Magic Kingdom has spent a lot of time putting these interactive queues together, and they're great. However, the next question is, what's next? We figure there's a couple good rides still available that you can add the interactive queues to that really won't need a lot of prep to do it.
The one that's been in the rumor mill the most when it comes to getting some type of interactive queue that could potentially tie to the Magic Bands and the My Disney Experience has to be It's a Small World. Because we've heard so much about, oh, we want to design a doll at home and have that doll follow us and say goodbye to us at the end of the attraction. I really think that has to be on the drawing board someplace. And it can't be far off because there's not many other attractions that don't have something. And when it's busy, it's a Small World line can get a little long, and there are just switchbacks up in the front. I'd love to see something happen over to It's a Small World that includes that My Disney Experience and that next generation interactive queue. What do you guys think?
That's a fantastic one, yeah. I don't have anything that really comes to mind that really stands out. I really think that for me the two worst, I mean, I guess Splash Mountain.
Yeah, there you go.
Sure,
they could probably do something because that line can get long.
Well, and with Splash Mountain, you have the opportunity to do two types of activities. You have the line that's outside that comes under the bridge and kind of back and forth around in that courtyard. Then you go up the stairs into the barn, and then you're basically inside down through the tunnel until you get to the boats.
Yeah, I think that would probably be the next one to get something done.
I'd love to see that.
Nearly as bad as Thunder Mountain or Peter Pan's was.
Right. Oh, no, I agree with that. It seems to move when it gets going.
Well, it wasn't just back and forth. It is back and forth, but it snakes and bends and turns and goes all over the place.
That area is really nice.
And that's the thing. With the area outside, I'd really hate to add anything interactive that would make you look down, like some type of screens or signs like that.
No.
Maybe something in the trees. Maybe we could do something in the trees with the bird characters from Splash Mountain, from the Song of the South movie and perhaps do something with them.
A little orange bird in the tree.
No, it's a blue bird on my shoulder.
We're trying to get the orange bird over from Adventureland.
That's what I'm trying to do, but Jimmy's right. It's a blue
Doesn't
bird
fit.
On my shoulder.
Yep. And
I want to see a blue bird on Jimmy's shoulder with some kind of hologram effect.
Let's do
Pepper's
it.
Ghost to put a blue bird on your shoulder, Jimmy.
I'm in.
You know, I wonder if there's a way they can actually put a part of that queue where you can have maybe a PhotoPass guy take that picture then. And then when you go inside Splash Mountain, I could see definitely something going down in the tunnel. That whole wall to your left, that's basically a solid wall with a bunch of portraits. Have those portraits start talking to you, perhaps, or have them animate themselves, or do something in that regard.
Yeah, there's a lot of potential at Splash Mountain.
Oh, sure. Now, the other one I thought of was going to be Pirates. Now, the way Pirates is they have the lines split up. You don't really choose left or right anymore. Left side is standby, right side is fast pass. So now, with the left side, I could see that being a little bit more of a long line and to get a little bit more boring as far as the wait goes. So you can add a couple different things on this one. I think an animatronic skeleton or pirate, probably a pirate maybe in a cell that you walk past. He wakes up when you walk past, starts talking to you, things like that. Another thing would be pretty cool in Pirates is perhaps have these windows that let you see outside the fort, but then lets you somehow maybe swipe the screen or do some type of movement that then shoots the cannon that you're on the cannon crew for, perhaps, trying to stop the pirates come at you. So you could see it go out, miss the ship, and you could kind of do the wave a little lower maybe and try to hit it that way. That would be pretty cool.
There's a lot of potential there.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And that one, that's a lot of room for improvement.
I think we covered every attraction.
The only one I would throw in there would be Jungle Cruise. I think Jungle Cruise.
I just thought of one other too, but Jungle Cruise.
Okay, sure. Now, Jungle Cruise can be a long line. If you've ever been on it and they've opened up the extra line where it goes all the way down to the right and it kind of swings back around and brings you back, you're on that for a long time. And with the Jungle Cruise, you can do a couple different things. I mean, they normally have the music and you hear the broadcast and you hear some of the captains talking. But maybe you can have a bank of two-way radios where you can kind of listen in on the conversations between the captains. Another thought, maybe you could drive the boats around. Remember they used to have the remote control boats?
I do remember.
They had those outside the Jungle Cruise. I don't know why they got rid of those.
Oh, well, because... Yeah, I know why they got rid of those. That was a pretty fun thing. But let's do an electronic version of them that perhaps is on the wall so that as you're online, you can start moving your boat around the little pathways of the river, perhaps, or something like that. Yeah, right. Kind of think about, remember Test Track? The post show, they have that driving game? Well, let's put that on the wall so that it's a screen on the wall and it's the river as opposed to roadways, perhaps. Again, a lot of things you could do in there.
I wonder which one they'll do next.
I don't know.
So the other attraction.
Whatever
I
one Ed
of.
Said.
Yeah.
Ed's got, so I don't know what it is, dude. Ed's got, like, Disney's got their ear to Ed, I'm telling you. Oh. Every time he says something, it comes true.
Ed says we should expand Norway and put in a meet and greet.
Boom. Done. Bam. Frozen.
I don't think he said women's restroom, but we'll take it too. Why not?
Yeah. Telling you, man.
Definitely.
So I think we covered every attraction. The only other Magic Kingdom attraction I could think of is Buzz Lightyear. And I don't the line moves quickly.
And that
although
it's continuously loading, so
and that's
well it does long. Except when they stop the standby to let the fast passes in. Then there's that brief pause where everybody's backed up.
Right.
I've never stayed alone. It'd be hard for me to do anything interactive in there because you just move too much.
You know what you need? Maybe something on the wall where you can draw on it as you pass by. Light reactive or something like that.
With you. Yeah.
Heat reactive. Yeah. But you have Buzz in there to keep you entertained.
Yeah, you're right. Buzz is in there. But that's the I have on a few occasions now been stuck in a standby line where you know, there's just so many fast passes coming that they hold that line up, and it got frustrating. It's like, oh. But yeah, Buzz is in there once you do. Buzz is in the wrong position in there, and I think they learned from that. Because see where Potato Head is over in Toy Story Mania. He's not right before you load. He's way back further.
That's the issue. By the time you make it to Buzz, you're getting on. You know what I'm saying? It's not
much
of a
people
distraction.
Try to take a picture. All right. Going, come on.
Yep. Well, that's
any other track?
And that's like we've been saying is that Disney has taken advantage of every one of these interactive queues to improve it on the next ride they go onto. And yes. I think that's just phenomenal on how they keep improving it and not installing the same type onto each ride.
And that's obvious in the Mine Train, as one of the latest. And I'm sure Peter Pan will be phenomenal when I finally get to see it.
Mm-hmm. Very much so. So
did we miss any attraction? I think we covered everything except for, you know,
Carousel. I mean, except for like, or like, get well, all the presidents, which you don't.
Sure. Yeah. But I could throw another one at you that might not necessarily need this, but I've been online and there are a lot. Monsters Incorporated. Before you get into the hallway with the TVs, you're going on the switchbacks inside the room with the bubbles and the big water cylinders and stuff like that.
Yeah, but that's when you text your jokes, isn't it?
Well, for those of us jokes.
No. Before that, you're talking about...
No, that's the room. That's the room. As soon as you walk in the door.
No, the next room is the text your jokes, isn't it?
Nope. You text your jokes...
With the vending machine?
You text your jokes as you're going on the switchbacks.
As soon as you walk in? Okay.
Once you get into the room with the carpet that's the hallway with the, you know, the doorways and the bulletin boards and the TVs, yeah, it's too late for then.
Got it. Okay.
But even
I don't know how many times I've stayed in that first room. When we typically go, it's pretty, you know, we go at slower times of the year, so. Mm-hmm.
Well, someone who has to go the summertime, it's a big wait in there. And I could see where it'd be just at the end of each of those lines, being able to do something with those water tubes or being able to control the bubbles or something like that. Something very simple, but you're right, it would keep the kids very occupied.
Hall of Presidents.
They need the Voices of Liberty over there. They need some type of
app. They have some great exhibits in there to just hang out.
They do
out
have
and take
some
a
great
look
exhibits.
At.
Sure,
but
for the
you know what?
10...
My kids don't want to look at that.
Yeah, I was going to say, for the 10-year-old or less or whatever.
They're sitting in a corner on their phone texting. That's
right.
Not
right.
Right. Oh, yeah. But that's a tough one.
Yeah. And you don't wait long. That's a people eater, too. So, I mean, you're not in there very long. Once it opens up, I mean, it holds. If you time that one right, you really don't have to wait in there because you can walk in right when the show starts and just go grab a seat.
Sure. Okay, so that's it for show number 69. Send us your thoughts on the interactive queues or any of the news we talked about. Also, send us some listener questions we'd be happy to read on our show. Send the email to thedisneynerds@yahoo.com. And don't forget to check out the Facebook page, The Disney Nerds Podcast, Facebook group, Disney Nerds, and also check out our website, thedisneynerdspodcast.com.
Hey, and check out a great video over on the website, The Disney Nerds, and YouTube of the Festival of Fantasy Parade. Hopefully you guys got to see that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Really cool view. It's the fisheye from the center there.
Which, by the way, very quickly, that was a FastPass Plus viewing location. The hub construction has moved the FastPass Plus viewing location for the Festival of Fantasy Parade up to Town Square, which would be a really interesting view of that parade as well, looking right down Main Street.
Oh, awesome.
But see that? I found a reason for us to go another minute. Congaloosh, everybody. I'm out.
All right, Guaharini.
Okay, see you later, everybody. Talk to you next week.